jump in a little early there.
Oh, well.
Welcome to the Blind Handyman Show. We're recording show number 222. This happens to be the 5th day of February, 2008, and we're recording at the Little Ranch House Studio in Southwood Drive in Lufkin, Texas. For the next hour, we're going to talk about building, repairing, and maintaining, all, of course, designed with the blind in mind. Our host for the show, the irreplaceable, ladies and gentlemen, Don Shaw.
Hey, hi, Don. Mr. Tom, good to hear you back on the microphone again.
And there's Don Patterson. He's in the house.
I'm right here, Thomas. How are you? It's good to have you there.
Doing good. My name's Tom Houston, but here he is. Here's the star of the Blind Handyman Show. He's the creator. He's the producer. Ladies and gentlemen, here's Phil Parr.
That's what I missed, was that big buildup.
I knew that was what this was all about.
That big buildup that I always get from you. But it does sound wonderful to have you back in among the. We're not going to say among the living, because we just lost John Bennett. That'd be terrible to say, wouldn't it? Huh?
Yeah.
But you know.
It's good to have you back. You sound like you feel some better or some what's your?
I feel fine. I've never felt bad. I only feel bad on days I go to the hospital.
Yeah, and
it's the movement. Any kind of activity kind of does me in.
Yeah. Well.
And so I try to avoid most of that.
Well, you don't want to do too much activity anyway.
You know how that is.
yes, I do. Well, listen, I did mention the passing of our friend John Bennett, who has been with us many times, many different times on the Blind Weekend. I went to school with John and known John for many, many years. John passed, I think, early Monday morning. That would have been about the 27th of January of this year. John's kidneys, I think, were failing him, and he had some heart problems. And anyway, Don Shaw, our friend Don Shaw, our statistician, and the guy who Don takes the show every week and converts it to MP3 and sends it off to the proper people so they'll run it on the radio, on the internet, and he made us a little recording of some past moments of our friend John Bennett.
We're having our 18th Blind Weekend. Now, you blind people out there may have your own version of Blind Weekend, but this is our version of Blind Weekend. And what it amounts to is we have friends from Dallas, Texas that come in, and we have four of us here, Tom Houston, Don Patterson, Don Shaw, and myself, and we add to that mix John Bennett.
From Dallas.
From Dallas, up on his mic, close to his mic. John Bennett.
Close, I hope.
John.
I'm eating this mic, by the way. This may need repair before the night's over.
Well, it could happen. We may all need repair before the night's over.
Yeah.
John and I have known each other. We figured last night since, did you say 1948?
50 exactly. It's September of 50.
So we've known each other 52 years.
Goodness gracious.
Man. And we're still speaking to each other. I don't have any wives that I've
known. What a deal.
Yeah, 52 years. We went to the Texas School for the Blind together. We were both sufferers of W.E. Allen.
Yeah, I'm not proud of that. But
We suffered under the regime of W.E. Allen. Very oppressive. As Bob Peters said, the voice of an oppressed people. And we were. And John Bennett, how well do you see?
They refer to me as a high partial, sometimes higher than others, but
you were last night.
Yeah,
John is one of those guys that if we were out of beer, I'd ride with him to go get some if we had to have it.
Desperation set in.
Sure, it looked like he and Patterson together could drive a car. Patterson could look right and Don could look left. Looked like we'd have,
I was going to talk a little bit about some light bike maintenance and especially tire changing and that sort of thing.
You know, with that in mind, it would have been a great day to have called Lloyd Drennan out in El Paso and ask him about riding the bicycle through the plate glass window.
That was a good story.
We could have had Lloyd on. He would have probably talked to us.
That was a day that will never be forgotten, or a night that will never be forgotten.
You were with him, weren't you, Ben?
Yes, was.
You boys weren't drinking anymore, were you?
No, I doubt it.
Certainly not.
I think I.W. Harper was with us that night, I believe, if I'm not mistaken.
Is that a train? What is that?
That is the train.
It's either the train or the tornado. He's take your pick.
Hopefully a train.
Well, it's either the train cover. The dogs have done something we don't know about. Anyway, it's about noontime on a Saturday. It's where we are in Lufkin, Texas, raining. Have you ever done any handyman things at all, John Bennett? Have you ever? When did you decide you weren't a handyman?
I have. It's been, gosh, when my son was 4 years old, and he's 42 now, going on 17.
Yeah.
And more or less. And I bought a fire truck from a discount store in Austin years ago when I was living in Austin with my only ex-wife. And we were bought a fire truck that was about 3.5 feet long. And I asked the store, a very economy time in my mind, in my lifetime, and I said, how much would you charge to put this together? And they said, oh, $20. And I thought, well, I can save that $20.
That's actually what you thought is, well, that's four cases of beer.
That's exactly. You took the words right out of my mouth. But I thought, no, I'm not doing this. I'll go home, and it should be simple. And they had 9,000 parts for a 3-foot fire truck. And I stayed up till 5 in the morning. It was right at 5. And I called my ex-father-in-law and said, I have a project for you. And so between 5 and 6:30, he put it together. And I'd spent from about 10:30 till 5 in the morning attempting. So I found out that that is not my bailiwick.
You made the decision at that time that you, a handyman, you weren't.
That is it.
Okay. Well, that takes care of him.
Well, if you can't be one, it doesn't hurt to know one.
That's right.
Yeah. That's it. That's why I listen thing, to you guys.
It takes one to know one.
I'm sorry.
maybe I will learn, and the second time around, I'll do it right.
Well, that story, that last one, is so typical of the way John Bennett. John could milk a story. Good as anybody I'd ever met.
And you didn't really get bored with hearing the same one because he embellished them so much they were all different.
Yeah, he could get the most out of a story and a shirt, but we loved him and we did, and he'll be missed by not only by us by a lot of people. John was kind of a legendary. Blind person. John and I walked all over Austin, Texas. John and I walked one time from Yoakum to Cuero, Texas, which is 18 miles any way you cut it. We just kept walking along. No car picked us up, so we just kept walking. And we got, next morning, we were in another town. It was
Well, you know, there's a lot of things you remember about him. I thought he had come to TSB a couple of years later. I think than we did. Like, I started in 48, and then but he wasn't there. So I remember, like, 1950 him coming. But, you know, at school, after we got older, the guy read to us. I mean, he'd have this huge audience, maybe 20 guys, especially if it was a rainy, couldn't do much outside day.
Yeah.
We'd all go to the study hall, even under our own steam, not being punished. As happened so often. And John would just have a little gathering there, and he would read just novels. And for a visually impaired guy, he was one of the best readers I've ever heard.
Well, he read, the first time I read Blackboard Jungle, John Bennett read it to us.
Yeah, Battle Cry,
he read us.
Wow, man.
It would be just big groups of guys, because we, you know, all of us were Braille readers, we couldn't read. So that would be Saturday, John Bennett would read to us, and did it very well. It's
yes.
Like a talking book narrator.
He would have made a fine, old-time country radio disc jockey, I think.
Well, I think he tried that. He went to radio school and got a degree, a little...
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. And all he could find were small stations that would, where you have to live way out in the country, and he couldn't do that because he's blind. He couldn't drive. And so.
Yeah.
But anyway, John Bennett, he'll be missed. And that's a little tribute to John. You have some email, sir?
Yes, sir. I have some list mail here. And this first guy, his name is Ralph. And he's having trouble with his dishwasher rack. He said the bones on the racks in our dishwasher are becoming pretty corroded.
Yeah.
Is there any way to fix that?
No.
Well, that's what I thought. Just throw it away and get some more. But now, we did have a couple of comments from guys that were reading the list mail.
I'll bet we did. Let's hear them.
Oh, okay. Here's a guy that says, my wife uses Country Time lemon crystals to clean the dishwasher with, or sugar Coolest Lemonade Kool-Aid. She does this about three times a year and tells me that it cleans up the inside of the dishwasher like new.
Uh-huh.
She put in the soap dispenser. She puts it in the soap dispenser and pours a package of it on the bottom of the dishwasher, and then she runs it through the wash cycle empty. So that makes sense. That would clean one up, I would think.
Well, that would clean one up, but those racks aren't that. They don't cost that much.
Well, no, I wouldn't think so either. But old Dale Levins now, you know Dale.
I've met Dale once or twice. Fire alarm Dale.
He says, just a suggestion, but maybe clean them up, then apply an epoxy paint. The epoxy should be dishwasher safe once it sets up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, I'm with you, Phil. I think you just throw them away and get some more.
I think, though, those racks are also, if that's what we're talking about, the racks themselves, aren't they covered
with coated.
Teflon?
Yeah.
I thought they were coated with
teflon
plastic or something.
Some kind of plastic or some kind of coating.
And I'll say this. It they ought to be cheap, but anything from Sears or otherwise is not. I bought a part. I bought a little bitty puny part for our refrigerator, and the guy, when he said, you're not going to believe, he said, I'm embarrassed to tell you how much it was going to cost. It was a little plastic something that cost $65.
Yeah.
You know,
so,
goodness.
Yeah, but I thought they had a little plastic sort of a coating on those
Yeah, if it's that.
No, they do. They have a coating on the racks.
Yeah, so it sounds like it's been well used. Might.
It might be an old one before they coated them. You might. You know, sometimes things actually just wear out.
Yeah.
You know, you have to admit that.
You would think by the time that happened, the dishwasher would be worn out.
Well, one would think so. But, you know, sometimes things just, you know, they just don't survive.
See, I can give you Sears 800 number.
If you need it. But you won't get a person. You'll get some.
God.
You'll get something. Anyway, go ahead, Tommy.
Okay, we have the laminated floating floor throughout 80% of our home. Over the years, there have developed a few nicks in it. I'm wondering if I could put some type of wood filler or something in the nick places to cover them up. Any advice on this subject would be greatly appreciated. Donnie?
I don't know. Donnie Parrott, probably. I have no idea. Anybody know? What did they list say?
I would just wonder if that stuff is supposed to be pretty durable. I wonder what kind of gouges and how they're, if he's got any idea how they're getting there. That sounds like pretty violent.
It really does, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
Well, anyway, Pee-wee said, hey, Donnie, do you live close to a Lowe's? My son-in-law just was there. I asked him to see if they have repair kits for laminate floors. They do carry the kits. A small can is about $10. That sounds like a solution to me.
Well, so that's probably some sort of putty or something that you put in those places and then maybe sand it off a little bit. That might be worth doing.
Yeah.
Rather than, because that laminate floor is expensive.
High-dollar stuff.
We're talking like a laminate formica or something like that. Is that what they're talking about?
I think wood.
I think it's designed to look like wood. If,
yeah.
You know,
oh, really?
They put it down in little squares.
But it's a plastic type thing.
Well, it's tongue and groove. It's the same thing I have in my den, isn't it?
Yeah, I would imagine.
It's tongue and groove.
Oh, okay.
It comes in all kind of different colors, from light to dark, and it's a synthetic wood, a wood substitute, or a wood-like material.
Yeah, you'd be cheaper to buy the actual wood, but the synthetic wood, they got you. You know.
It's supposed to last forever.
Okay, well, Roger writes, he says, I have a home Sony receiver. When I switch the TV to radio, the radio is much louder than the TV.
Yeah.
Is this a common issue with receivers, or is there a way to resolve this issue? Any thoughts, anyone?
Probably not. I would doubt seriously, unless there's some sort of, which I guess he's got a satellite that he has tied to his receiver.
Mm-hmm.
And he switches over. You could buy a preamp that would raise the volume on the satellite, but why? Just remember it happened and...
Turn it down or turn it up when it...
Yeah, turn it down or turn it up. There may be a volume adjustment on that satellite. You might look on the remote, which I bet if you looked on the remote, you could find some sort of volume adjustment and raise the volume on the satellite. Thank you, Phil.
Worth a shot, isn't it?
I bet it's there. I bet that does it. All right.
I've got one more here, and then a response to it.
Okay.
This is on drill press belts. It says, well, I decided to upgrade the two belts on my drill press. Strange, but Grizzly cannot tell me what length power twist belts to purchase. They think a 5 foot, and I hope I'm reading this right, 5 foot 31 belt, is that the way you would say it?
I have no idea.
Or a 5 foot 3L, I can't tell, will be enough to replace both belts. Now, they suggest that I first measure it. What I thought about doing to measure the belt would be to tape a string to the belt and rotate it until it comes around, then tie it together and cut next to the knot.
Why not?
Then I can measure the length of the string. I would do this for both belts, but I suspect that they are the same length. Now, is there a better way to measure the belts? I want to make sure that I purchase a twist belt long enough. They are too expensive to make a mistake. A 5 foot 3L or 31 from Grizzly would be a little over $40 with shipping and tax.
How much drilling could this guy have done
to have gone
to
through
wear
a set
out
of belts.
The belts on his drill press?
And also, it looks to me like if he knew the model and the make of his drill press, it'd be a simple matter to call that company and say,
you Google it or something.
What size belt does this?
That's what he said, Grizzly.
He
I guess.
That he found a website that sells it by the foot, but I can't read it.
Yeah.
Twice it crashed my system when I attempted to locate the price.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's a guy named Lenny McHugh.
We've talked to Lenny McHugh, I think, before.
Oh, yeah.
I'd take that belt off and see if he could get somebody to take you to an auto parts store. They'd probably have one exactly like it, wouldn't you think?
Yeah, it wouldn't matter what brand it was. If it was the same, happened to match one up,
well, Lowe's and or Sears sell a lot of table.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know,
drill presses.
I'd go to my local craftsman place. But you need the name and the model of your drill press.
Probably find, like you said, site on light crashed his... There are times when sighted help is just necessary, Lenny.
Yeah, because it actually could be written or stamped on the belt.
Probably
the size someplace. So.
Probably is, but I can't imagine 5 feet. That must be some other. Must not be feet and inches. It must not be.
Well, the way it was written in the list there was 5 feet.
Because a 5 foot belt, that'd be a big.
That's a big old belt.
If it was a 2.5 foot diameter, I mean, you know, it wouldn't really. Yeah. You think about it.
This boy's done a lot of drilling.
I mean,
a bunch.
To worn out the belts on his drill press, Lenny.
Wow.
Why don't I send you mine?
I think old Max had a good comment on it.
All right, go ahead.
Perfectly good sense to me.
All right.
He says that if you aren't going to use the old belts anymore, cut them, stretch them out, and measure them. That made good sense to me.
That would be Max. Be our boy of physics. Max, but, you know, that's not a bad idea. But then you're out of business. Then you can't, you know.
Then if you didn't sign the belt, you would be out of business.
You couldn't go back.
You're SOL.
For sure.
I had an old tape recorder, and the belt broke on it. And we'd go through rubber bands. We'd be in the middle of a session, and the damn rubber bands would break. But it worked.
Yeah, for a while,
you know, you can use anything for one. But an auto parts store, like he said, find out what the make, call the company, tell them what drill press it is, and they'll be happy to ship you one for $61.50. You know.
Yeah, they're proud of them, I'm sure.
You'll wish you hadn't drilled so many holes.
Yeah.
Houston?
Yes, sir.
We need you to come. We need you back.
Oh, it'd be fun to be there.
We need you here with us, visiting with us, sitting in your regular chair. Talking on your microphone, and you know, when Don says, I'm going to get a beer, you can say, me too.
Yeah.
But as you predicted, Mr. Houston, on our way over here around 2:30, there were a few sprinkles of rain.
Uh-huh.
So it seems to never fail.
You know, it's looked like that all day here, but looking out the window right now, we have not had a drop so far.
Oh, it's going to rain.
It's coming.
Storm, I believe.
Cool front coming down through Dallas is going to be here at Central. We've had a winter this year, you know it?
We really have.
We've had some cold mornings and cold, nasty days.
Amen.
Yeah.
You know, some years we just don't have any bad weather. We've had winter this year. Anyway, thank you, Tommy, and we'll do it again next week, all right?
All right, good deal.
Tommy, one thing before you go real quick.
Yes, sir.
Impressions on the Super Bowl. What'd you think?
Impression. Well, I picked New England. And I was wrong. You saw that.
I wonder what the line was. I think a lot of people got fooled. I think
New England was the favorites. I don't know just exactly how much.
Okay. I thought it was, you know, as most Super Bowl go, I guess if you're a Giants fan, it was a great game, but really it was kind of a dud spud.
Yeah, but you know, it was the highest rated game in history.
Ooh, yeah, I would not be surprised.
The other one back in, was it 1996, Dallas and Pittsburgh had the record.
Right.
And they had a ton of viewers.
I think they said 96 or 98 million people watched this.
That particular game, and maybe even this game, maybe it was 96 on the Dallas game.
Yeah.
And then the only other viewer thing that has topped it would be the last show of Nash, and it had 106 million viewers.
Wow.
Wow. Honey, that's more people than listen to Blind Like Me.
Isn't it? Boy, it is, isn't it?
Yeah, we better.
Yeah.
Listen, my friend Will Hudgens is, I'm sure, just heartbroken from Boston. Because I talked to him Saturday night, and he was just determined that New England was going to win. But anyway.
I was kind of hoping they would, because they would have made history. You know, they were undefeated.
Well, and then Boston won the series.
Yeah.
World Series, so we would
have...
Yeah,
wouldn't it have been neat?
I think it would have been very neat.
No, but then if you carry that on through, then Romney would win the presidency. Oh, heaven forbid.
But you can always say, well, the team that beat Dallas and eliminated Dallas won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
That's true.
So it makes Dallas look a little better.
They said that Rudolph Giuliani was leading the Republican polls in December, and that's because no one had ever met him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know whether there's truth to that or not. But anyway, we're going to go, Thomas, and I'll talk to you for next week, sir.
Okay.
Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye. Bye.
All right. Thomas Houston Vick from Burke, Texas.
Yeah.
Let's do our guest, and our guest is... I've forgotten.
We're going to talk with Glenn Fortner today.
We've had Glenn on before.
We've had him on before. It's been a while. But.
Personal friend of Bob Bartlett's. We don't hold that against him. We're going to have him on anyway. And Don Patterson's here with us, and Don Shaw and Phil Parm. We'll be right back on to more of the Blind Handyman Show. Hang on. You're listening to the Blind Handyman Show. What number did we decide this one?
222. 222, according to Mr. Houston.
That's amazing.
That's
222.
Right.
Well, here we are gathered around, waiting on the rain and doing a little Blind Handyman. Glenn Fortner is with us. How are you, sir?
Hi.
Can you hear me?
Yes, Yeah.
Good deal. Where are you? I've forgotten where you are.
I'm in Fairhope, Alabama.
Fairhope, Alabama.
On the eastern shore.
The home's in Alabama. No matter where I... Excuse me, I was doing a little singing there. Aren't you a friend of Bob Bartlett's?
I play all in play poker, and we have a night we go Poker Pal.
Uh-huh.
And that's how I met him. It's on the computer playing poker, and we gather every night, about 1 hour a week, every night, and we just talk about this, that, and the other, and that's how I got to know him.
Every night you folks get together?
It's every night, Monday through Friday, about 7 o'clock to stay there however long you want to.
Do you ever win any money, Glenn?
Virtual chip.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So this actually
I got 2.5 million.
This, good Lord.
Oh, wow. I thought maybe you had taken Bob Bartlett to the cleaners, you know, and when.
Well, I have. Me and him love the 10, but I generally get more 10 than he does.
What a deal.
Yeah, Bob has helped us with several guests, and he's kind of become a friend of ours. He lives down in South Lufkin. They call it Houston.
Yeah,
we refer to it as South Lufkin. So you boys gather up. You don't necessarily play poker every night, but you visit a little bit every night.
I've been real busy for the last ever since Labor Day. I decided to remodel the house, and my wife. Mother and sister and nephew is moving in with us, so I took a 2-bedroom, 2-bath, and made it a 5-bedroom, 3-bath, and almost complete.
Wait a minute. How many people are moving in with you, Glenn?
Three more.
So you built them each a bedroom?
Well, I didn't build it. I took the house down. It was a 2-bedroom, 2-bath, and designed it. And turned it into a 5-bedroom, 3-bath. I took my garage and made one of the baths and one of the bedrooms out of it.
Okay, all right. So all these people are moving in with you. I'm glad it's you and not me.
Well, I love my family. It's my wife's relatives, and we always together most all the time anyway.
So they might as well just move in with you, huh?
Well, one help one another. But yeah.
Well, that's awful nice of you to do that. Did you do most of the work yourself? What about the plumbing? Did you hire that done, or did you do all that yourself, or went to?
Well, yes, I subbed that little part out, except. I was going to get the jackhammer and jackhammer the floor out, and then he put the pipe in, and then I was going to dig the ditch, and he put the pipe in, but he's doing most of the piping.
Yeah.
But we up in the attic with the water line, this, that, and other, so I subbed that part out. The rest of it,
you did a lot of that stuff yourself.
Yeah.
Have you got an air compressor?
No, I got a tear up a tire, but no.
You don't have an air compressor?
No.
Man.
What a project.
So you did all this by nailing, you hammered yourself.
Screws, battery screwdriver, nails, you name it.
God bless those battery screwdrivers, is right.
Yeah, I done wore one out, and my wife bought me another one, and it's a good one.
I bet she did. All the work you've done, I bet she did buy you another one.
I wore my first one out building a deck for the swimming pool. I got above ground pool, and I had a little ladder came with it. It's real shaky when you got up on top of it, and my wife said, "I ain't getting in there." And so, would you build me a deck? I said, "Sure." So. We got a big deck and a 16x12 low deck and a 8x12 high deck.
We talked about that last time. I think you had just finished that project, actually, when we talked to you last time.
Right, that's true, yeah. That's why I wore the first one out. Sorry, I got me a new one.
Yeah.
Hope it lasts the next year anyway.
Well, I do, too. I'd have to go buy me a nail gun air compressor if I was going to do. Of course, your drywall screws work well, don't they?
I know what they are. I have used them, but I can't afford it. And it would be nice if I had one, yeah.
Well, I'll be darned. What a deal. So you got 5 bedrooms. And three baths now.
Yep.
All right. Well, I know where you got 1 bedroom and 1 bath. You said out of the garage. What did you actually have to build the other 2 bedrooms? I mean, from scratch.
Well, I took my sunroom, which is a little cubbyhole outside.
Right.
Closed it in. Put windows in it and made it a bedroom out of the sunroom.
Okay.
And then I took my former dining room, which I used to have my computer there, and I never was there no how. I took my computer and put it in the bedroom, so I could spend a little time in the same room with my wife. So we took the dining room and put a partition wall up and converted it into a bedroom.
That's what they do.
Okay.
You say you put that computer in your bedroom, you spend a little time with your wife. They like that. They like you to spend time with them, don't they? Those wives.
Sometimes. Most of the time.
That's good. You play with your computer, you mess with that computer a good bit or what?
The computer, I moved it into the bedroom.
Yes, sir.
She loves to watch TV, so she got the earphone. And I got the earphone for the computer.
Okay.
So we're both in the same room doing our thing.
Glenn, how much vision do you have, if any?
None.
Okay. So you use JAWS. Which screen reader do you use?
I got JAWS.
JAWS, okay. Well, it sounds like you get around pretty good if you're up there playing poker.
Yes, I used to write stories, and I read the Bible a lot. I let JAWS read it for me, so I just sit there and listen to it. And
yeah.
I go to different verses and whatnot, and I get information from the internet. It's very helpful.
Well, I'm going to have to come and visit when this poker thing that y'all are on. That's not a closed room. Can anybody come in there?
Yeah, you get a 15-day free trial.
Okay.
And if you like it, it costs you about $8 a month.
Is that right?
Yeah,
that's cheap enough.
Isn't it all in play or something? Is
all in play.
Yeah, I've heard of it.
Yeah, and for the people where we go and chatting about, all the guys go there, and that's where we chat. That's
where you go every night at 7 o'clock. That's where you go do your little chatting.
Right.
Is it for the people. And that's free.
I met a lot of friends and people from all over the world. We play Fantasy 2007 baseball, football, basketball.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. So I'm not dull at all. I could stay busy.
No, I didn't think you were dull at all. Where do you do this basketball and baseball playing?
Well, I come in, the team, and I come in first place last point.
Oh.
But I've been so busy, I didn't get to play basketball this year. But they all want me to play. So when I ain't got nothing to do, that's what I do, get in one of them. I love to play the football one. And, that is real fun. It's entertaining. It don't take but about 1 hour of your time a week.
I say, where do you play football? Where do you do that?
On the computer.
Is that all in play or for the people or where?
Fantasy 2007.
Oh.
Haven't heard of that place.
I haven't either.
It's a game. People from all over the world play. Something like 1.5 million players.
Really?
Yep.
Fantasy.
I almost won the baseball game.
More like a football school, isn't it?
Fantasy 2007. Now, that's a different site. That's another place that
fantasy.
You go.
Well, the Fantasy 2007, Glenn, that was for the, from the major. That was on, and that was the MLB site, Major League Baseball site.
Right, Major League Baseball.
I would imagine the football would be like NFL or something like that.
Okay.
But isn't this basically, Glenn, where y'all trade players? I mean, you accumulate, is that how you
can? Yeah. You can trade players, and they got, they're talking about it now, and you, they're going to have two going. One of them, you can trade players, and the other one, you don't trade players.
I see.
It's fun.
And
Try to beat, you know, like Barkey.
Go ahead, John.
I try to beat him.
Yeah.
We talk about it, and look what I did this week, you know.
Yeah. And Glenn, do you guys do on four of the play, back to that poker site, do you guys do Texas Hold'em on that site?
It's Texas Hold'em or you to draw poker. And it's for all in play, A-L-L, all in play.
Okay.
That's
the actual place where you play poker is all in play.
Yeah, and you can go in. You can visit it. You get 15-day free trial if you like it.
Come and try. My wife plays poker all the time. I gather that the lady that's talking with you there is your wife.
Yeah, she was in the background. Yeah, that's my wife.
Because she wouldn't be happy if that was some other lady now, would she?
No, I don't think so.
She responded pretty quickly on that one.
Yeah, she responded.
I like to hear that, so it makes me feel important here.
She wasn't slow about responding there at all, Glenn. She's keeping right up with you. She's watching TV with her headphones on, and you're playing poker with your headphones
on. So everybody's happy.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, not all the time, but yeah, that's what we do. Unwind at the end of the day.
Unwind after building all those rooms and doing all that carpentry work.
Well, I'll be glad when I finish. I just know the Lord just getting me the right way with all of this. So
is the project almost done? Are y'all almost ready to wrap it up, and are they ready to move in?
We mudding and sanding right now, and we got sheetrock mudding all over us, but we happy.
Yeah, that's a pretty hard thing for a blind guy to do, is that sheetrock mud. You want to cover up those seams and do all that sanding and all that stuff. That's work. That's too much work for me.
Yeah, it's too much work for me, too.
I got to get in the attic and finish insulating it. They don't insulate an attic in a garage. So.
No, they don't.
No.
It makes it extra tough, too, when you got to live there and work there both, doesn't it?
Well, I know there's an end of the tunnel somewhere, so it won't be long. And
gotcha.
Then they're going to treat me down to the Florida Keys, May.
Is that right?
Yeah, I'm going to go down there for 10 days.
To the Florida Keys and do what? What are you going to do down there?
Probably water ski.
You're going to water ski?
Yeah.
Well, have you water skied before? Do you know how?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I almost got into Special Olympics one time.
Is it?
Really?
Yeah, down in Florida.
Wow.
Well,
but,
it doesn't much hold you back, do they? Huh? They don't.
You got it covered.
You pretty well got it covered playing poker and.
Well, I was gonna ask you how you were gonna get to Florida, but I was afraid you was gonna tell me you was gonna fly your airplane. So.
That's hilarious.
You're gonna.
Tell him I half flew one. It was a crop duster. My next door neighbor put me behind the wheel.
Yeah.
But I didn't know what I was doing, but at least I had it in my hand for, 5 seconds, 10 seconds?
At least you can say you flew the plane, Glenn, right?
You what now?
I said, at least you can say you flew the plane.
I flew it, yeah.
You flew the plane.
But I didn't know where I was going, but it didn't crash.
Listen, I've done a lot of stuff I didn't know what I was doing and crashed.
Also. Just one more to my list.
Yeah.
I'm not a daredevil, but... I'd like to try it. You might like it.
What? I forgot to ask you. What age? How old are you, Glenn, if you don't mind?
I'm 62.
62. Well, I was 62 about 5 years ago. I remember it well. It was a nice age, as a matter of fact.
I lost all my vision around 33.
33.
That's 33. Yeah. What? And you? Do you have? Could you drive before then?
Yeah, right. I could. Well, I had vision problems ever since I was about 16, 17.
Yeah.
But I had to give up my keys at 33.
33. Well.
And I should have quit way before I did, but I didn't.
I've talked to a lot of people that say that they drove a lot longer than they really should have.
Oh, yeah. Right. But I give it up, and I'm glad I did, and I know everybody else was glad I did, so.
Well, everything seems to have worked out for you. Well, I guess next time we talk to you, you're going to have a house full, and you'll have all those people living with you, and you'll be all through with these projects, right?
I'll be all through with these projects, and my family will be here, and yeah, we will be happy.
Well, you tell Bob Bartlett tonight that you talked to us on Handyman, and you're going to be on the show this weekend.
And Glenn, before we get out of here, if you want a copy of this show, have Bob Bartlett or you send me your email address, and I'll send you a link to the show this week when we get it ready, and you guys can download it.
Sound great.
Right. Glenn, we appreciate you, and you carry on, and we'll talk to you in a day or two.
Okay.
Thanks,
thank
Glenn.
You.
Nice talking to you, Glenn.
Well, that boy doesn't need our help for nothing, does he? Huh?
Got it covered, doesn't he?
Seems to have it covered. Moving on.
No, I think if he had any handicaps, it'd be us.
It'd be us. He's moving all in that
really?
Family. Moving all that family in there. I had an ex-wife did that one time, and it's one of the reasons she's my ex. But anyway.
What a project, man.
Just doesn't let anything slow him down, you know?
Yeah, that's quite a project.
He isn't that much younger than me and you, Pat.
No.
Well,
no, he's not.
All right, Don Shaw, we're going to let you talk about something in just a minute.
I have just a couple of minutes when we get back.
All right, well, we'll make that couple of minutes into 8 or 10.
Okay.
You're listening to the Blind Handyman, and we're glad to have you, Don Patterson, Don Shaw, and Phil Parr. Hang on. Is it?
The luckiest saxophone player in the world?
Really? It's the luckiest saxophone player in the world? Kenny G? The Blind Handyman is where we are. Child boy, what were you going to tell us about?
No, I had a little deal here. Don Patterson, I don't know, it's probably been 6 months ago, talked about a cleaning product that they had bought, LA's Totally Awesome Cleaner.
Right.
That you were kind of doing a review on.
Yeah, Emily swears by.
Yeah, we're saying it worked really well around the house. So, as some of the longtime listeners know, we have a very, very small office cleaning service.
Yeah.
And I said, man, that, you know, that's just a thing to try on some basic stuff around the office. So I went down and we purchased a bottle of this stuff and mixed it down half and half like you're supposed to do. And I started trying it on some counters and towel racks and all different kind of things around the office.
Yeah.
And the stuff really works great. Right. I mean, for all purpose, just for cleaning about anything. From grease, you know, just down to, you know, a stain on the carpet. I mean, anything.
And it's cheap.
It really works well. It's cheap, and it's just, you know, I just have to give it a good recommendation.
Is that right?
It just works.
I've taken over the chores at home as far as mopping the floor, and the reason why it's so easy. I kind of vacuum a little different than everybody. I sweep first. I sweep the stuff out from the wall, and then I have little piles, and I just go there with a vacuum cleaner in it. Makes for a real good. But the neat thing about the LA Totally Awesome stuff, you put it in your mop water, and you mop, and you don't have to rinse. I mean,
really?
It doesn't leave a.
Yeah, it doesn't leave a residue or film.
Smells kind of lemony, kind of.
It's good stuff. Good for so many things.
Wait a minute. You just leave it on the floor? You don't rinse it?
Yeah, I just put a little bit in the mop water.
Oh, okay.
And then when you mop, I don't really rinse it. And it's clean, really good cleaning.
And it really works well. We have a good bit of stainless steel, different things, sinks and different things down at the office. And we'd been cleaning it with vinegar and several things over the years. And it said on the bottle it would clean stainless steel.
And it does.
And tried it, and sure enough, boy, it worked good. It shined it.
Are you still cleaning the place where they make prosthetics?
Yeah, actually it's a building. I say office, but actually it's a whole building that we do every Sunday. And it's a good deal.
And they make prosthetic limbs there.
They do. Legs and arms. You'll see all kind of legs and arms and things just hanging around in the shop in different places. It's
really.
It's a trip.
It would be. That'd be. That's kind of weird.
It's kind of different. Yeah.
Them bones.
Yeah.
Welcome.
We sang that, didn't we? That is strange, Don John.
Yeah.
All right.
But anyway, I just wanted to do just
LA
kind of
cleaner.
A follow up on the LA
totally
awesome cleaner.
Totally so. LA totally awesome cleaner. Buying it where? Lowe's or
dollar store?
Dollar stores sell it. Probably
I love
a lot of
dollar
places.
Stores. Dollar stores, we do too. Dollar stores are like little Walmarts, you know.
Yep.
You just accept that they're in the big traffic, and you know you're not. It doesn't take you an hour to get in. Boy, our Walmart it takes forever. Mm,
it's a big store, isn't it?
We've been on this diet, and you can't buy. Like, you can't buy nutmeg at any place but Walmart. Brookshire's just doesn't have it.
Right.
Brookshire's doesn't have flaxseed. And that's one of the things that's on this diet. Or, let's see, whey powder.
A lot of really strange stuff on that diet.
Whey powder is one of the things they make shakes with is whey powder. Chocolate and vanilla whey powder. You can't buy that at Brookshire's. You got to buy that at Walmart.
I bet you do.
And let's see, I said flaxseed. But you can't buy almonds. You can't buy slivered almonds, which is one of the things you want in your shake. Everybody ought to have some.
Yeah, right.
Slivered, they're good. And how about we had to order almond butter? It's like peanut butter, except it's almond butter.
I remember you writing that to the list.
It's delicious, almond butter. We had
almond
to order it.
Butter.
Brookshire's nor Walmart had it.
Yeah, an Amazon special, huh?
Amazon special is right. Go ahead.
Yeah.
What were you going to talk about?
Well, briefly, I was going to talk. I'm surely some of our listeners and people in our community do business with eBay.
Yeah.
And
I've
probably been a client or a eBayer for a couple of years, and I've always not high volume. I've only 10 items, and that's probably equal amount of bought and sold. Never had a problem. You know, about 2 weeks ago, I sold a keyboard, fairly substantial price, a big Yamaha keyboard. Mm. Guy bought it and did not pay me.
Oh!
Bummer.
Well, now, I have the keyboard. You know, the only thing this has cost me is time and probably some emotional outburst, i.e. temper-wise, because there's not a hell of a lot you can do except, but if you'll play by eBay rules, it'll work. But anyway, you have to give this creep 7 days to decide whether he wants to. So we email. Of course, naturally, I got no response. He never intended to buy it. I could tell you about that. I started out with a bid, and there were a couple of guys who had zero feedback scores, and they were engaging in what eBay calls bid shielding. They bid my item way up high where, say, a respectable, honest bidder wouldn't bid because they had the price high. Then about 12 hours before the bidding was ended, they yanked their bids, which brought it way down about $300-something. And so I canceled my item, which you have the right to do. It was actually within 13 hours. If it's 12 hours, you can't. I just pulled my whole thing. And so the next time I listed it, I put, no one with zero feedback scores can bid. Well, be careful what you wish for. A guy bid, and I canceled his bid, which I didn't know you can do. I learned that.
Wait a minute. Why did they want to do this?
Well, just for aggravation. And you can go find, if you can look at people's bid history, you'll see guys that have retracted many bids. eBay keeps a close eye on them, and they'll ban them from, especially if they do it late in the auction, because that's what they say. They're shielding for somebody else. They'll run the wire. See, when he pulled his bid, that left a guy...
Open to jump in. That's
at
right.
The price I had started it.
That's right.
And see,
where other people might have already bidded it up by then.
The price way too high.
So. Yeah, yeah.
And so anyway, but when I did this last time, well, this guy snuck in again. I had canceled one of his bids. I did not know at that time you can block him. You can actually. I do now have a block list, and you can keep somebody from bidding on anything you have. Anyway, he bid. He won, and of course he didn't pay. He had no intention of paying. So I waited 7 days, and then you have to file a dispute, you call it. So eBay then sends him an email telling him, look, you know, you're obligated, you have a contract with this guy, and every time he opens up his account, there's this big email. He can't do anything about it, but just look at that email, and he has the opportunity to respond, either put up the money or say he's not going to do it or whatever. You have to give him 8 more days of that. So tomorrow is his 8th day. Then I close the dispute, and eBay automatically then refunds my assessed value fee, see, which they charged me because he said he bought it,
right?
Which he didn't. And then they'll if I close the dispute early, then I have to fill out more paperwork telling them why they need to reimburse my fees. But if I wait the 8 days, which is tomorrow, then I close it. We've had no response from him. Not going to get. Then they will give him a strike against his account, which means they can either limit him to how much he can bid on an item, and or kick him off of eBay altogether, which they really need to do because the guy's been a member on eBay for almost 3 years and he's never bought or sold anything.
Yeah,
so I think
strange.
He must just harass people.
Yeah,
you know?
They need to get rid of that.
So anyway, that was my first bad experience.
Just because he can.
Yeah.
Just because he wants to.
Well, because I put it in there that not to bid, and he did. See, look, people are getting scammed on eBay so bad, I mean, with phony cashier's checks, because they'll... In their ads, you'll see a lot of times, no Nigerians need apply, because these people are notorious. Some of them, not to damn a whole group, but some of them are notorious for phony cashier's checks.
Yeah.
You get the check, and you think, oh, I got a legitimate cashier's check. Before you clears your bank, you send the item off, then your bank comes back to you and says, hey, check's no good.
I read a large article on that that said, you know, we would like as a bank to hold that check until we made sure it was good, but you wouldn't put up with that.
Right.
You want your money now, so, you know, it's not the bank. You know, it's amazing. People just idiots.
Yeah,
you know?
And it like I say, all it cost me was time, and tomorrow, and I've done my little time, and then I actually have sold the keyboard subsequently to the second chance guy, the legitimate buyer, and we've talked on the phone. He's very excited to get it. I said, you know, my dispute ends tomorrow. I can't ship till tomorrow, or till the next day, actually, and I said, so don't deposit your money until tomorrow. Anyway, blah, he's happy, and I'm going to be happy, but that was just quite a real, well, discouraging, because I just, some idiot that you don't know is tied you up for 2 weeks out of my life where all I wanted to do is sell a keyboard and move on.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
That just seems so stupid. I mean, to me, it just
in what
phone,
game?
You know.
Yeah, and he probably doesn't care if eBay. I mean, obviously he hasn't ever bought or sold. Don Shaw and I have a great idea for eBay. We think they should charge a membership fee, which they don't. Of like $25 when you sign up. Then if you buy one item during the first year, you get your
$25.
But you have to buy something.
Yeah.
To get your money back.
You have to make
some deal on eBay before you get your money back.
Uh-huh. But if you don't, at the end of the year, you forfeit your $25.
Well, okay, here's the thing. This is how great ideas are born. You need to we need another, what do we call it? We call it Don Bay.
I think Microsoft, when they buy Yahoo, they are $45 billion to buy. I think they're going to have a trading. I think they're going to.
Isn't that just amazing? That $45 billion
for Yahoo.
Unreal.
And it's not even
Yahoo.
The number one site anymore. I mean, Google is.
Yeah. Man,
you know, Google has become a verb now. Google something.
I say it all the time.
Well,
I tell people,
I'm
Google
a Google
it.
It's amazing. Well, kind of world, crazy world we live in. Of course, we couldn't have done. We've been doing this 5 years, but there's no way we could have done this under the old the way things were, you know.
Oh, no, couldn't have done it. There's
oh,
no way.
Oh, you know, think about just the stuff that I have sold. It's stuff that only a certain group would be interested in, for keyboard players, well, musicians, or wanna be musicians to start with, and then keyboard players and or accordion players in particular, so that narrows the group down considerably. But I couldn't have sold those items. They're fairly expensive. Setting them, you know, hanging out a sign here in Lufkin, Texas, I'd still be setting
oh,
them
yeah,
the
you'd
first
be,
one.
You'd still be
I
waiting.
Would have used up all of my money paying ads in the paper that nobody would respond to.
Oh, for sure.
Oh, another quick thing we got to mention still.
Yeah, go ahead. Great.
In the city of Lufkin, we are 120 miles from Houston. This already happened through Dallas, for our Dallas papers from 140 miles away, but the Houston Chronicle is Houston's
no
major,
longer delivering.
No longer delivering in our city.
I know.
And so that just tells you the state of newspapers all over the country, they're going broke.
My father-in-law is very unhappy.
Yeah. Emily is, you know, kind of pretty unhappy.
Well, these are people like Lou Ann's family are newspaper readers. I mean, that's what they like. Lou Ann likes to read her newspaper on Sunday.
Emily reads hers every morning.
And so, but that's those days are over, guys.
Yep.
No more buggy whips.
Turn on the Fox.
By the way, 23 Skidoo.
yeah.
You know? You know what I'm saying?
Stutz Bearcat.
It's over. Let's go out and your Wimley will be here near Hudson in a minute. Pulling her Studebaker.
Yeah.
They passed us by, didn't they? Huh?
Yeah.
I'm going to be the most technologically savvy 80-year-old man that ever lived.
I love it.
I'm going to keep up.
I love
buddy.
It.
They're not going to get ahead of me. I just ordered a 16-gig card for my stream.
Yeah,
a 16-gig card for my stream.
Where did you find it?
That's
the weather.
The weather alarm.
We must be going to have some severe weather, and you heard it first.
Right here.
Good thing I didn't ride the scooter today.
ACBRadio.com.
The blind handyman.
Wow.
Thanks, Pat.
All right, enjoy
it. Donald Shaw.
Yep.
Go look at my 16-gig card.
Yeah, let's do that.
The stream recognized it, by the way.
It did. It
worked
good.
Where did you get it and how much?
At $96. I don't know where she got
it. That's not bad.
She Googled them.
Googled.
$96, but 16
for, gigs. Yeah, that's a good price for
that's
16 wild. Gigs.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
I can have a 16 gig for the PTR. But anyway, thank you all for listening. We'll do it again next week. I'm Phil Parr, and I see said the blind man as he picked up his hammer and saw.